Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
My elder, Sanele Kumeru, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, my elder. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing this afternoon?
It's been a productive day, if I can say so.
Lovely.
I hope it has been the same for you.
Well, it has been indeed. Thank you so much for joining us here on AWR. Now, we're going to be talking about a rather interesting, a discussion here. God is guiding the nations. And, of course, the prophecy that was revealed to Daniel shows us that God knows not only the past, but also the future. What is the reason that he has chosen to open up the future to us? And this is what we want to understand by the time we are done with this conversation. So, my elder, what is the significance of God revealing the events of the future to us? It's not like we can alter, or control or take charge of what will happen.
Yes. I think one of the things that are just amazing about God is the many ways he shows his love for us.
Okay.
And there are a different number of activities, from the beginning in creation. We see God's love in the way that he created the earth and our first parents, Adam and Eve. And when you go through the New Testament, you read so many times where God gives instructions to the patriarchs that, if you do X, Y, and Z, you will succeed. I will be with you. I will deliver you. However, if you don't, you'll also, reap the rewards. In a way, we find God revealing throughout, which is consistent with God. In fact, I'm not on the fly thinking of a verse that says, God does not do anything unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. So for me, as much as there's not much we can do to change, how God has planned or how the sequence of events will take place. However, the advantage that we as Bible readers have is that we know what things will transpire up until he returns. So I think for us, there's even in the text that we touched on yesterday, Matthew 24, where he says, be careful of these things that I have listed that will take place just before my coming. He says, Jesus says that, be careful that you are not deceived. He says, because of these false prophets, that will be plenty towards the last days. Even the elect will be deceived. So it is a way of God showing us that he loves us so that we are not taken by the whirlwind, and we are not going with the many that may be deceived in the end of time. So I think for me, it's the long and short of it, my elder, is God just helping us to anticipate these events so that we are prepared for them, in a way also expressing God's love for man.
I see. Well, now that we know then what the future holds, you're saying that we should prepare for the events. But what then after that? I mean, as we already said, we can't really alter these in any fashion. This is the knowledge, and we're going to be preparing for the event. But this is so much knowledge. Surely it's not just about preparation. I mean, this is the detail in some of these predictions is quite amazing. Surely, should it just only be about preparation?
Yes, I think the preparation is one part of it, which is the foreknowledge of what is going to happen. And there is a context, and I think I like Matthew 24 because it's practical. It speaks about things that are happening in our time. So it is also around helping others to be prepared like us for his second coming. And because I think the real readiness or waiting for his second coming is expressed by us doing what he says we ought to do, which is making other disciples, which we find in Matthew 28. And I'm forgetting the verse that I'm thinking about now, which also says that the gospel will reach the ends of the world, and then the end will come. So this gospel reaching the ends of the world, you know, will happen only through us who have been given the privilege of knowing the times and sharing that knowledge with others as well. So it's not just a matter of being prepared for the coming, but also making others aware of what is about to transpire in this world that we are living in, and giving them hope as well. To say, you know, sometimes when we read Daniel and Revelation, it's filled with beasts. Yep. And, you know, it's one of those books in the Bible that are not so pretty to read. However, as the book of Revelation is called, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we are then who have been privileged by those who ran before us to unpack some of these things. We are then supposed to get hope from these events and help others to tell them that this world is not going to last for long. And we have to help them to get ready also for Christ's second coming.
Looks like there's no end in sight to these events. I mean, there's been thousands and thousands of years, centuries and centuries have come and gone. And, you know, every time we're expecting some of these events to come to pass. But it looks like there's not going to be an end in sight. Huh?
Yeah, it's you know, you're also reminding me of the verse that speaks about, you know, as someone says, you know, the second coming of Christ, even our forefathers said he's coming soon, but till now he hasn't come. And another interesting conversation is around the last day events. You know, we normally talk about the mark of the beast and 666 and all these kinds of things. And you find there are different interpretations of what that means. And others believe that, you know, because of some of the calamities that are befalling believers, you know, we are already living during the times of the end in that way. Others feel, you know, we are still free. We are not seeing the persecutions and that the Bible speaks about. And what I normally say is that the Bible speaks of the fact that, you know, a thousand years is but to a day to God. So if we're looking at the fact that Jesus left around 2,000 years ago, for him, he's only been gone for 2 days, you know. So it feels long for us as human beings.
Yeah,
Maybe also because of the suffering that we are going through.
True.
You know, and, you know, we're laughing the other day with other members of the church that, you know, sometimes we are seeing that the righteous are prospering, and yet, you know, us Bible believers, we seem to be suffering.
Unrighteous.
They're unrighteous, and you know, so some of these things then they get to us, and I guess it's only human to do so, because really this world has tended not to be our own. However, the expression, you know, that always scares me is that we must not be heavenly useful and earthly useless.
True,
you know?
Very true.
So we must also play our part on earth in ministering to others' immediate needs.
That's correct.
And also giving them this blessed hope that we also have.
Lovely, lovely. Now, this lesson talks about God who is guiding the nations. I must say that when you look around the world, you discover that there are nations that have gone rogue and, you know, but nations that would, you know, go attacking other nations that would go oppressing other nations, stealing the natural resources of those nations, etc., etc. I mean, we know what's happening in the political world. Is God truly guiding the nations?
My elder, our replica or our blueprint, there are other materials that we read, like the spirits of prophecy, specifically the Acts of the Apostles, where we read about what the reformers did during times of oppression. And there's also a view, for instance, of the fact that the children of Israel were selected to be an example to other nations. And sometimes when we look at these events, is that God was supposed to be shown to the world by the different we call we the term that is usually used is the remnant, that there's always been a remnant, and the responsibility of the remnant is to show forth God's glory to other nations. And the unfortunate part, that verse that speaks about the fact that the harvest is full, but the laborers are a few. So, and there's also an argument to say, no, it's not just laborers, but it's laboring laborers, because you look at how many Christians there are in the world beyond just the Adventist denomination. There are a lot of us that are there. However, it feels as if we are not playing our part to influence other nations, because that is our responsibility. So, and the other view is that when we speak about prophecy, is that the Bible says towards the end of time, troubles will be more. There'll be more rumors of war, and actually wars in places near and far. So I'm not sure if we'll get to a point, to be honest with you, quite frankly, where wars will stop. However, that being the case, there is still an expectation for us to spread the gospel where we are.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, we are literally wrapping up our lesson today. And to the listener, what's the one thing that they should pick up as as really umpago, throughout this life that we live, in as far as this particular lesson is concerned?
I think we should pray to God to open our eyes, to really appreciate the fact that we are indeed living in the last days, and the life of man is so short. So our responsibility is, whether we are at home with our relatives, with our friends, with our colleagues, with our fellow students, we are not all preachers who are going to stand in front of a pulpit. However, through our daily engagements, we need to express the imminent coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, even in our pulpits these days, we hardly hear like back in the day, where a sermon will not end where a preacher speaks about the imminent coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's also our responsibility where we are, to express this to those around us.
Beautiful. Well, Elder Gumede, we do want to thank you so much for the time that you've given us here at AWR. Blessings upon blessings to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my elder. Blessings to you and your family as well.
Sure. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.